All right. Yeah, we appreciate you guys doing this here today. There's obviously a special meeting coming up on Monday, 7 o'clock at the Manhattan Fire Department headquarters there at 2000 Denison. And this is really kind of a public forum of sorts. Ed, can you tell us a little bit more about what's going on?
Yeah, you know, this is actual National Parks and Recreation Month. I don't know if you know that. So this is a very appropriate time to really dig into our parks and recreation. And there's a really community outreach right now about what's going on with parks and recreation, programs, features of parks and recreation, future park recreation in Manhattan. And the best way to get our handle on this and to be able to understand it is let the public have a forum and tell us what they want and what they feel about parks and recreation. So I actually got a hold of Ron, and Ron was very appropriate in saying, yes, let's get together and have this community forum. And let's find out what the people in Manhattan want in their Parks and Recreation Department.
Ron, it's been well documented. There's been some challenges this year at the Parks and Rec Department.
There has, definitely. It's been a number of different ways. You know, we had some planned retirements from former leadership positions in Parks and Recreation, and then we've had some other vacancies that have come up over time, but it's really been just a struggle coming out of COVID, really, and getting enough workers to carry on what I would call maybe a legacy or traditional Parks and Rec programs. And so we've, over time coming out of COVID, we've tried to look for different ways to deliver programs, even during COVID, which was a struggle. There was not a lot of interest. And, you know, we were just talking before we came on the air with our day camp, which is extremely popular that we hold in City Park. We weren't able to take as many numbers because we weren't able to find as many instructors. And some of that's been, you know, we've relied on school teachers a lot. I have a lot of respect for them, and certainly, and there's just whether at all ages of folks that doesn't seem to be that drive to want to step up and work some hours. And so we're just, you know, how can we still deliver the product and make it so it's a meaningful experience? And so we've been experimenting this year coming out of COVID. The previous Parks and Rec administration worked with the soccer clubs to start a youth soccer program, and that seems to be working pretty well. I mean, they utilize our facilities, and if they can offer their own version of a rec league at an affordable price, it's one that we need to continue to observe as to how that can work. And you know, it's going to be one of those things where, as we're trying to keep our existing programs going, even in our new recreation centers, we're struggling to have enough workers to carry that load. Of course, the folks that are in those facilities were already doing programming for outside programs, so they're stretched pretty thin as well. A lot of people wearing a lot of hats, putting in a lot of hours trying to keep things going, and we've had some, especially in some of the adult activities, where we've helped facilitate some of the registration and stuff, but they're kind of running their own program, so not hiring umpires and scorekeepers, and mainly because due to availability. And so and financing has been an issue too in the past of being able to sustain those revenues. Our revenues have been pretty flat over the last 4 to 5 years. So ways to increase sponsorships. I've met with Vern Hendricks with the Manhattan Community Foundation, and Ed too has talked about forming a Parks and Rec Foundation as an example of a way to help support things. And there's a lot of support and encouragement there. And I've been certainly pleased with folks that have come forward about, well, hey, have you thought about this? And, you know, whether a parent can serve. I mean, we've relied on volunteers a lot in the past as it is, with volunteer coaches and that sort of thing. And so we're just talking about different aspects of how we can continue to deliver quality programs at a reasonable a price.
Do you have a good handle on numbers of those that are involved in youth programs through Parks and Rec, specifically the youth sports leagues?
Yeah, we do historically, and so we're still running some. Those numbers have been down And again, I'm not sure totally what that aspect mm-hmm. is, but yeah, we've got good data. It's you know, coming out of COVID, where we stopped everything. Obviously, it's a rebuilding format, but we've got previous numbers and certainly folks that are interested. And that's been some of the challenges and struggle too is you built this program with wanting a class maybe or a program with 30 participants and you only get 15 signed mm-hmm. up. Do you go ahead with it or not? And you're just going to have that much less revenue from that aspect. So it's a bigger subsidy. So that's a part of it. And certainly interested in talking about different models. You know, and I know. There's been a lot of discussion about, if we go strictly with a facility model that's, with traveling teams running programs, that's not affordable. Well, most of those organizations need our facilities. So there's a negotiation process. And I think the soccer model that we have is working pretty good. I think it's one we need to continue to evaluate, and certainly I think there's room for negotiation there on what that pricing might be. And clearly, it's we've had scholarship programs in the past too, but we need to make it easier for folks to access those programs.
Yeah, I might carry that a little further too, because as a result of our Monday Parks and Rec board meeting, I did request a spreadsheet on the numbers of participants in our various programs, adult and youth, beginning in the year 2019, because that's probably your best year as a normal year before we got into COVID, and where it was back then and where it is today, and then why have we seen these reduced numbers? And are we guilty of some of that? Because have we not been able to market those programs appropriately to the public so they don't utilize them? I don't know. But that's a question that we should ask, because why did those numbers fall off? Is it a result of COVID? And, maybe parents don't want their kids out there playing ball or doing different events. But then adult leagues are down as well. And that's not the case in other cities. In communities. And so why are we experiencing these fallouts of our programs? That's something we need to dig into and find out the answers.
One question that stands out to me, and it comes from having covered the city commission last year when I first moved into this position, and that is we build new rec centers. We've got people that are wanting to get a new indoor aquatic facility built. We're building amenities. People want the amenities, but then we're not able to staff them. And unfortunately, I know that the city budget didn't allow for staffing of the new rec centers when they came online. Why was that designed that way? And would we have been better off maybe not putting the rec centers online?
Well, I think it certainly has caused us to pause about how we ask questions in the future. One of the things I've indicated to the Vern at the foundation and others that have wanted to do fundraising for projects is that we need to take a look at how are we going to sustain that project. You bring on 100,000 square feet of indoor space, you're not going to, even if you were charging a fee, which the commission didn't want to, and there was some question somewhat indicated that there wouldn't necessarily be an admission fee, but there could be membership fees that get you access to different facilities. There's certainly we want open time mm-hmm. where you can catch courts. Right now there's a lot of that, and we are renting parts of the facility to different groups for that want to reserve it for practices. So I think there's ways to do that, but those fees alone aren't going to even come close, you know. And as we host tournaments, those are all great things, but a lot of that revenue, besides that specific rental fee, we need to be competitive in that rental fee for them to bring that tournament here. That those funds are going into sales tax and they're going into bed tax if they're staying here. So, and those go into the general fund, which is the most of the general fund is made up of sales tax as the primary. The city's general fund has very little property tax, and most of that is dedicated to bond and interest and the fire department. So, you know, it's one of those challenges that we have about should we have asked instead of a quarter cent sales tax for the facilities, another tenth for operations? Or do we come back? And I mean, that's part of the future of how do we fund some of this stuff going forward as we want to bring more and more things online. And your indoor pool is a classic example of where even the consultant said you're going to be lucky if you can recover 60%. That's a good number.
Wow.
So those are huge expenses for anything with water's high cost, very high cost.
Of course.
And, you know, clearly we were not prepared to manage those indoor recreation centers. And that's been a discussion that we've had. We didn't, either we didn't plan or we didn't have the resources or we didn't have the money to manage those properly. So we opened them. But we didn't open them with the proper intent. And I really feel bad about that because these are outstanding facilities. But an outstanding facility is only as good as the people who operate it and make it available to the public. And we didn't do that. So we got to go back and we've got to look at that. You know, and something that I really promoted because, you know, I come from the business world is we should have planned those courts and those rec centers should have had sponsorships. And there should have been XYZ sponsors court number one, and the scoreboard should have had a sponsor on it. And all those kinds of things that would have brought money into us and allowed us to operate those rec centers properly. We didn't do that, and I tried to advocate for that, but it didn't happen. So there's a gap there again. So all that kind of philosophy, that thinking needs to be looked at in the future. You know, how do we allow sponsorships of our programs and to bring the money back in from the community, because the community supports parks and recreation. There's no doubt about it. The businesses and the people in the community will support parks and recreation. We need to give them an opportunity to do so.
I know one question that some folks have been asking publicly here is, you know, why are so many experienced people leaving the Parks Department? They want to know, is it salary? Is it poor leadership? Have you been able to narrow that down yet?
So I think it's a variety of issues. Again, I spoke to some of that, you know, and some of it is, as Ed said, you know, we shifted folks that had been doing programming to work in those indoor centers and wearing multiple hats. And so we're reevaluating our indoor or centers for community use. They're very successful after school programs and different throughout the day programs. And so we're totally relooking at how we're doing that and getting some help from cities that have had indoor recreation centers for a long time. Of course, ours is a little different. You know, we don't have fitness equipment. We don't have water and that sort of thing. But there's good ways to make them available. And so we're reevaluating how to do that. But, you know, it's just the whole aspect of so I think there are folks that have burnt out from some of that and have moved on to other jobs and have been tired of wearing multiple hats. So I think there's other issues that have been there as well. So, and some of that was, you know, I didn't necessarily sign up to run a rec center, but the folks that are there are making a great effort and doing a good job of trying to manage both that as well as the outdoor programming work that they're doing now. And that was something we had looked at to create kind of our own strategic plan. So for Parks and Rec, for the future, for how do we do that? How do we get these revenue streams, whether it's through sponsorship or the foundation or different aspects, some type of pass system? You know, I've even heard just different ways to make that revenue system better. And then a lot of our fees have been fairly low for participation, and mainly on the whole cost recovery model. It certainly isn't a business model. It's basically what's the cost to provide that maybe temporary employee, and some the sponsorships have been relative, you know, the T-shirts for the program, maybe a little bit of equipment. It doesn't look at the facility costs. It doesn't look at the parkside support. It doesn't look at the own full-time supervisor that's planning all that, any of that cost. So in a business model, you certainly wouldn't be pricing it. And then I don't want to price things out either. So how can we deliver these programs at a quality level that people want to participate in and can afford to participate in and going forward? And with the challenges that we have with our workforce and other issues today.
Yeah, and I would just add on the model, if we change the model from a traditional model of parks and recreation, which we're at now, versus a privatizing type model, there may be people that really don't buy into that. And some of our staff is certainly in that position because they're used to having a traditional model. And we have shifted somewhat towards more of a privatizing type model. And the cost basis, which that's another discussion we need to have with the community. Is this community ready to have cost recovery and to pay a lot more? And where does that leave the youngster that wants to be in a recreation program and doesn't want to play competitive ball? Doesn't want to travel and go to Tulsa and Oklahoma City and Kansas City. And, you know, that young person that, hey, let's just play some summer baseball and the recreation leagues. And where's that leave them? That's a big gap that I'm concerned about.
That's a huge gap.
Yeah, it is. And that's kind of when I spoke to those groups need our facilities to utilize for mm-hmm. their programs. And so negotiating with them to provide an affordable option, you're certainly going to get higher level of instruction at a more reasonable cost. And to me, that's where the negotiation comes into play for negotiating what they're going to charge for that rec league that they're going to run, that we're going to run together. Mm-hmm. So those are those things that I think is the middle ground. And we had one of our speakers that has done some work in that area and specialized in the study. I mean, I'm not saying we're going that way. I mean, if we're going to privatize something, you know, that's not a decision we've made completely. We'd go out for an RFP and all of those things. So have we done it somewhat because of necessity coming out of COVID? Yeah, and that model seems to be working. I didn't get a lot of complaints about folks. I think the soccer groups and you know, it's an opportunity for someone that may have talent that wants to go on. And then there's how do we open the door for that to occur?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, that meeting coming up Monday evening, 6 at the
7.
Seven at the fire station.
Yep, headquarters fire station.
Okay,
1000 Denison. If you can't attend, I know there's. We didn't have a lot of lead time in this. There'll be an email that you can send your comments and suggestions to as well. And so certainly want folks to come out and participate if they can. And if they can't, send us your thoughts.
Well, and we'll open ours up as well. If we miss something here in the conversation, they can still email us at kmannews@1350kman.com, and we'll pass it along as well.
That'd be great.
We'll go that route.